morning. Good morning. Let's turn to Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Now when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the people of the exile were building a temple to the Lord God of Israel, they approached Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' households and said to them, "Let us build with you, for we, like you, seek your God, and we have been sacrificing to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us up here." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' households of Israel said to them, "You have nothing in common with us in building a house to our God, but we ourselves will together build the Lord God of Israel, build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and frightened them from building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their counsel all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this morning. We thank you that you have given us breath and life, God, and that we get to come this morning and spend time with you in prayer and worship and in hearing your word. And I humble myself before you, and we pray that we'd be able to hear from you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take us through Ezra. This is something that I've been reading in my own personal readings. I just read this part yesterday. Ezra 4, verse 1 through 5. And I want to have a quick disclaimer. Before I get into the message, commentaries will say that in this passage, it's talking about, it says, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin, they came. And commentaries do say that it's actually enemies of Israel that they were dealing with. And so in a way that their response was justified in the way that they responded. But when I was reading this, it highlighted to me something that I think happens quite often in the church today. So I want to address this issue. So first, let me explain the passage. So what's happening here is the land of Judah, basically, it gets exiled because of their sin, because they have turned away from the Lord. Babylon comes and invades Judah, and they take away the people of Judah, people of the land, back to Babylon. And after Babylon basically loses to Persia, and Persia comes into power, God puts it in the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, and Cyrus says, okay, we're going to send the people of Israel back to their land, and they're going to build a temple for the Lord. And so he sends a group of people, whoever wanted to go, and there's a whole group of them, they want to go back and build a temple. So they're on their, they have arrived back in Jerusalem, and they're building the temple, they're rebuilding the altar, and they're kind of doing this good work in their homeland. And then these people that were already kind of in that land, but they didn't belong to the nation of Israel, they come, and that's what they say. They say, hey, let us help you. Let us help you in this project, because we also have been worshiping your God, and we want to kind of partake in this thing. And here's where the commentaries will say that they were maybe being hostile, or they were being insincere in their request. You know, they were kind of saying this, but they weren't really serious or sincere. Because in verse 1, it does say that the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard this. But in any case, what they do is they come and ask, but the people of Israel say, no, thank you. They reject them and say, you are not a part of us. This is only for our people. And so please don't bother us. Don't join in this work that we're doing. And then in verse 4, it says, then, in the NIV it says, then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and to make them afraid to go on building. Okay. So, the people of Israel had a tendency to be exclusive. If you remember their original calling with Abraham, it was, hey, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing to the nations. The purpose of the Israelites being set out by the Lord was that they would have a special relationship with God, but that they would take that and be a blessing to the nations. But often they forgot this calling and they were guilty of having the mindset that they were blessed to just enjoy it for themselves. The whole book of Jonah, if you read it, it's a rebuke on this elitist mindset of thinking that only they had a special relationship with God and that everyone else could not approach God. Everyone else could not have this kind of connection with God. And so what I'm saying is, if I were of those nations that came to Israel and said, hey, let me help you build this thing, and if I got rejected, I think I might feel the same way. I might be like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm here trying to help. I'm here trying to build a relationship with you and get to know this God better, but you've rejected me. Because it says, then they set out to discourage the people of Israel. Because rejection hurts, right? Why is it so hard for us to organize an event or organize a dinner or plan a dinner or suggest even a place to go for lunch or dinner? Because if people shoot us down, it hurts a little bit. We're like, ugh. You know, it happens a lot in the office with a specific person in the office. Don't want to say who it is. But we always go out for lunch and he always is the most pickiest. You know, it's like, hey, let's go here. What? You know, and he'll, this place sucks. And then you just feel like, oh, rejection hurts. And if you can imagine, you can put yourself in those shoes. They've just been rejected of their offer to help. I'm talking from Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. They've been rejected their offer to help. So it kind of makes sense that they're humble. I mean, that they are hostile in their response. So my question to us is, do you think it would have been different if the Israelites had said, okay, what would have happened if the Israelites said, oh, you know what? Sure. Let us teach you the way of our God. Let us teach you the way of the Lord. Because you don't know what you're doing right now. The way you're worshiping God, you're not doing it the right way. You know, they have been given special revelation in how to approach God and how to have a relationship with God. So you're not doing it the right way. But yeah, join us and we're going to help you in this journey of finding out how to worship the Lord and learning how to worship the Lord. Maybe the response would have been different. Now, I know that I'm reading into the text a little bit, so I want to be very careful. Because the text itself doesn't really say if this was the right thing to do or if this was the wrong thing to do. This is just what happened, and this is how the people of Israel operated. And they had a tendency to operate like this. But I'm drawing this thought from the book of Jonah, which is really mainly through the book of Jonah, which is mainly a rebuke to the Israelites for their exclusive mindset that they had, that they were the only ones that had direct access to God. And the fact that when we read the prophets, you see God not only reaching out to Israel, you see God doing that over and over again, but God also reaches out to other nations. God also has relationship with other nations, and you can see his heart that reaches out, not just to Israel, but to all the other nations surrounding them. So his heart was a heart for missions. And so what I want to say is that God was a missionary God from the beginning, not just for the people of Israel, but he had a missionary heart to all the other nations surrounding them. And he meant to go about it through the land of Israel, through the people of Israel, but they had forgotten their call and kind of excluded everyone else and kind of secluded themselves and kept it to themselves. So they didn't really get it. And for much of their history, they kept this special relationship with God for themselves. So I want to ask us, now how about us, the church? How are we doing, not just our church, but the church as a whole, in reaching out and not keeping this thing just for ourselves, but really finding ways to bring people to be a part of what we're doing. I have a story that I've read a long time ago. It always struck me from What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey. And it's about this prostitute. And I don't know who talks to her, but maybe it's a social worker, maybe it's a pastor of some sort. And she's just gone through such a difficult time. And I'm making up the details here, but you know, she just very downtrodden, maybe has a child and really has nowhere to go, no money. She's addicted to drugs, and so life is very, very difficult for her. And so this person is talking to her, listening to her story. And at the end of the story, this person suggests to her, "Hey, have you ever tried going to church?" And the prostitute says, "Church?" She's got this look of shock in her face, and she says, "Church? Why would I ever go there? That would only make me feel worse." And that's kind of, I think, what we have become as a church. That we're not a place where sinners can come to, where the people of the world can come to maybe receive something and find out how to get closer to God. But we're a place where they will come to and they just feel worse about themselves. And so, you know, I want to ask myself this question. I want to ask us this question. Do we operate like this at times? Like the Israelites that were kind of exclusive. And, you know, I don't mean to. Of course, I don't mean to exclude non-Christians. I don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to reject them directly, actively. But I think I do reject them, and I am exclusive just because it's naturally easier for me to do this. I am more comfortable with Christians. I've grown up all my life in the church. I'm more comfortable hanging out with Christians. I'm more comfortable going to breakfast, lunch, dinner with them, spending time with them, getting to know them, talking to them. So just kind of naturally, not that I mean to do this, but naturally I just stick to Christian people. We went to this conference called Out of the Salt Shaker Conference with Rebecca Manley Pipper. She wrote the book called Out of the Salt Shaker. And she's talking about evangelism. And she says one of the reasons why Christians are so bad at evangelism is that Christians only hang out with other Christians. We just don't have an opportunity even to share our faith with people that don't know Christ. And so I wonder if non-Christians, people that don't really fit into our social norm, non-Christians that don't really fit into the church culture, I wonder if they feel excluded. I wonder if they feel rejected when they come into our church, when they hang out, or when they're part of kind of this circle. And just naturally, because we're comfortable, more comfortable being with other Christians, I wonder if the way we respond to them, act with them, make them feel excluded and make them feel rejected a little bit. You know, and then we get upset with the world when they're upset with us, you know. So I read a survey from the Barna Group amongst young people, 16 to 29 years old, unchurched young people. And they asked them, how would you describe the church? Words to describe the church. 91% said anti-homosexual. 87% said judgmental. 85% said hypocritical. So words like love, you know, which is what characterizes us. Love, forgiveness, grace weren't the first words. Anti-gay was the biggest. Judgmental, hypocritical. And I'm not saying that they're justified in saying this. Obviously, they're wrong. Because the church is not like that. I mean, we know because we're from the inside. We know that there's so many Christians out there really loving people, sacrificing and showing grace and extending forgiveness. But maybe some of their attitude And their thoughts is attributed to the fact that we have rejected the world first. And this is their reaction. The reaction of the world against us. Because we have said no to so many of them. We have said no to so many of their ways. I have a story from the movie Furious Love. And this pastor, Pastor Rob, I forget his last name, but he has this vision. He's a pastor of this church, and he has a vision or dream or something. And in this vision, he is at his church. But at his church, he sees all, the whole sanctuary is filled with sinners. The sanctuary is filled with drunk people coming into the church, drinking, drug addicts coming into the church, you know, taking drugs in the pews, and people that are coming in and having sex in the church and doing all sorts of bad things. So he comes into the church and he's like, "What are you guys doing?" And he's kicking them out of the church. Like, "You cannot be here. You cannot do this kind of thing here at this church." And then God speaks to him and he says, "You know, you've been asking to reach the world, and I have brought the world to your church. Why are you kicking them out now?" And so he gets convicted of kind of his attitude of, you know, keeping the church clean, keeping the church free from these things. And, you know, Pastor Eugene's sermon on a few weeks ago, it just stuck with me. He talked about having a barn. And he said, if a barn has no cows, no oxen, you'll keep a clean barn. But if you have a lot of oxen, your barn's going to be messy. It's going to be dirty, but you'll be productive. And I feel like it's the same way. If we want to have a church that really reaches out to the world, that really just makes it a point to say, we're not going to just keep it for Christians, but we're going to let non-Christians in. We're going to welcome them, and we're going to have a place where they can feel a part of what we're doing. I think it's going to be messy, but maybe that's the point. And maybe it's okay for it to be messy a little bit. Jesus is very clear that we weren't meant to be an organization that just serves our own need. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, right? The Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus telling the disciples, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will have power and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses wherever you go. Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, you know, all over the world. Tim Keller, Pastor Tim Keller from Redeemer Church, talks about church in this way, that too often the church has nothing relevant to say to a non-Christian, because when they come to church, we're often just addressing the inner need of the church. For example, even what I'm sharing right now, if there was a non-Christian sitting here, they'd be like, what is this guy talking about? Because I'm addressing the inner circle needs of Christians and the church. But we're neglecting kind of the needs of the world. And I've been thinking about this term a lot. I've been learning it at school. I've been thinking about this. And it's common good. Common good. If a church promoted the common good of the world around them, of its neighborhood, of its community, of the society, the common good of the society, which means it's stuff that they'll actually benefit from. The stuff that we're talking about, the stuff that we're doing, it's stuff that not just benefits the church, not just benefits those on the inside, but it actually benefits the society, the community, the world around us. Then I think it would make more sense to the outside world. The church would make more sense to the outside world, and it would make more sense for them to come and be part of what we're doing. They will see that, oh, like, this is what the church is doing, and it actually is really making a difference in the society, in the community, in the world. We've said this quote at church a few times. The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. It is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. But yet we forget this all the time, very often. And we only, you know, think about the benefit of our own members, of how we're going to grow as a church. And so, you know, I'm saying it's going to be messy. I'm not sure how exactly we can do better. I'm not sure how I can do better. I'm not sure how we can do as a church better. But I think we can do this better. I think I should be doing this better. And I think as a church, we can be doing better in this area. You know, early Christians, one of the stories that stand out is that, you know, they knew that they were out here to reach out to the world and to serve the common good. And so there's a story of when there was a plague around that area, a big plague, and everybody was dying. And it was the Christians that went out to this plague-stricken area, quarantined area. And it was the Christians that went out to serve them and to help them and to be with them and to comfort them, because the Christians knew that their hope was not in this world. They knew that their hope, they had eternity and eternal life with God. So they weren't afraid of dying. So they were able to go and help the people that were going through the plagues and really, you know, provide for them and serve them. You know, that's serving the common good of the world, you know? I have a friend who is leaving the church ministry, and he's starting a youth club in Sai Kung. And it's not just for Christians. It's for all kids to come, and they're providing great programs and activities. And their belief is that if youth had nurture and proper care, then they're going to be people that will greatly benefit the society, you know? And so they're reaching out to the world and kind of fighting for the common good of their neighborhood, which is they live in Sai Kung. So anyway, it brings us to an announcement that I want to make. On Wednesdays, what we are proposing to do on Wednesdays after early morning prayer, if you've seen my Facebook, Jeff's Facebook, Janella's Facebook, we've been kind of talking about Spreakfast, which is SP breakfast. And we just came out because we had some leftover food on a Monday last week and on a Wednesday last week. And we said, hey, let's get together and have breakfast. It was me, Bonnie, Janella, and Jeff, and we're here. Everybody had gone, and we said, we have this leftover breakfast. Why don't we, you know, cook and just have breakfast? So we all sat down and we made toasted bagels, cream cheese, salmon. It was beautiful. And I was in charge of getting coffee from the third floor. So I went up to go get coffee. And when I was on my way up, I took the elevator up, and there was a stranger in the elevator. And this thought just, bam, came to me. And I said, oh, why don't I invite her to breakfast? But I didn't, because I was like, it might be a little weird. But that's where this whole thought process came from. And then I got my coffee, I came back down, and I talked to these guys. I said, guys, I have an idea. This is something we can do to let our community know that we are here, that a church is here in this building on the second floor, and that we are actually, we want to bless our community, and we want to promote the common good of this community. So why don't we, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could provide free breakfast on Wednesday mornings for people in our building. And we can, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we could go down, we can invite them, we can say, hey, there's free breakfast on the second floor. If you're on your way to work, you can stop by, grab a bagel. And if there's an opportunity, we can share with them about who we are. But, you know, we're not doing this with an agenda. Like, we're not doing it as a used car salesman, like, come to our church just so we can tell you about Christ. But that's where we want to get to. But we want to first show them that we genuinely do care about you. And, I mean, not that much, but we do. I mean, we want to bless you. Like, we want to give you free breakfast. And we want to let you know that we are here. So we wanted to do this yesterday, just in inner circle first, just to check out the process, how much food do we need to make and stuff. But obviously, black rain, so maybe we're going to start it next Wednesday. But and you know, we don't know, you know, like, what if sinners do come to our church? And we were talking about that at the staff meeting, and we're thinking of, what about security issues? You know, people are going to come in, and non-Christians are going to know that there's a church that is open. You know, what if they come in and, you know, they bring food in? I mean, that shouldn't be really a big deal, but what if they bring food in? But, you know, what if they damage stuff? You know, all kinds of things, and it could be messy. You know, but that's okay. Messy is okay, you know, as we try to figure out what we can do as a church to really kind of reach out and not be exclusive, but have, I don't know, have a relationship with the world and to promote this common good. So if you have thoughts about that, please share with me. And we're just going to go before the Lord. Janelle is going to come and lead us in a time of worship. We've already talked to Pastor Sam, so he's given us the go-ahead. So we're still kind of in the praying prayer process and preparing, planning, and trying to see how this would work out. But maybe it'll be a way that we can kind of build a relationship with our neighborhood and, you know, share with them about Christ. So Holy Spirit, we thank you, God. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the people of Israel there, God, and just the story there, God, that just kind of reminds us of whether, you know, of the times when we are also kind of being exclusive and when where we have rejected the world and we haven't really thought of how to reach out to the world and how to bring this awesome, you know, a blessing that we have, God, in you. And we haven't thought of ways to include them, you know. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and kind of stir our convictions, God, and give this time to you, Lord. Thank you.
There's a cry in don't have you, Jesus, what in this life could mean anymore? You are my rock, you are my glory, you are the don't have you, Jesus. What in this life could it mean anymore? You are my rock. You are my glory. You are the lifter of my head. Let's
pray together for our community. We're running a little bit late, so let's just turn to our community prayer focus. Let's lift up our brothers, sisters, family members going through cancer, chemo, and waiting for a transplant. Let's really pray for God's breakthrough, God's comfort, and yeah, let's just lift them up together. Let's pray for our second slide, illness and salvation. People going through serious illness, but they are not saved. Let's pray that God's revelation of His love and grace will come upon them. And I know we can't cover everybody, so as you read through the list, if the Holy Spirit really kind of pinpoints out some people, let's really lift them up and pray for God's breakthrough and His salvation to come upon them. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that we're going through. Let's pray and lift up healing. And in this time, that they'll be able to find the presence of God that gives them the comfort and the strength that they need. So let's lift them up together. Let's pray for the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends at church looking for employment. Let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray that God would speak to them in this time and provide guidance and
comfort and direction. So let's lift up our community. Let's pray for our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for Korea, North Korea, South Korea. Pray for the nation. And pray for Chris, our contact in North Korea, and the different people that he's working with. Let's just pray for them, and that they'll be able to really continue to hear from God. Pray for South Korea. Pray about a potential future church plant there, and pray for this nation as well, and pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Mitsunobu, and some of you guys know Samuel, who's a YMM missionary there. He's visited us, and we have mission trips there as well. So let's just lift up these three nations. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Pray for the intercessor prayer team, the Well and Cascade. And let's pray for God's protection over them, especially as they're at the forefront of, you know, spiritual warfare. So let's really pray that God would strengthen them. And let's pray for anointing, and that they'll be able to hear from God in a powerful way, and that it will flow out of their intimacy with God. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, welcoming team, and barista, that they would also have a good relationship with God on their own, and that this joy and this love would flow out of them. So let's pray for these two ministries. Let's bless our Korean church, the one that we kind of came out of. Let's bless them that they'll have unity and growth, and pray for Pastor Choi, the senior pastor. Let's pray that he would be able to be led by the Lord. Let's pray for the leaders of that church as well, that they'll have a love for God and intimacy with the Lord and a love for the church. Let's pray for our Hong Kong Korean church. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Elements and Conduit. Let's pray for a powerful time of fellowship and discussion, and let's pray for the leaders. Let's bless the house church that it will grow in their faith and in number. And yeah, let's just pray for the house church's meeting tonight. Father God, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that, this gospel that we have in you, this song that we sing, what do we have if we don't have you, Jesus? And this love that we have in you, God, it is so awesome. And I pray, God, that we would be able to share this awesome blessing, God, with the world around us, God. That we wouldn't be exclusive and even unintentionally reject the world and just keep to ourselves, but God, that we would come out of the salt shaker, God, that we would somehow, Father, I pray that you will lead us, God, and show us how we can be a church that really works for the common good of our neighborhood, God, and of our community, of our society, and that we would bring positive impact to the world, that they will see that there is something about the church, God, and they'll be attracted to the church. And I pray, God, that you would continue to lead us as individuals and as a church. And today, Lord, we want to be a blessing to you in some way. I pray that you would go with each and every person to their workplace, to their homes, God. May we walk with you in all that we do. And we thank you, God, that you love us so much. We worship you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.